All of you, go ahead and worship him. Hallelujah. You are holy. You are holy and righteous and pure. Hallelujah. Undefiled, severed from sinners, made higher than the heavens. Oh, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Thank you, choir. Amen. Didn't much expect to get to this point in the service tonight, but I do want to share from my heart. Won't be sharing long, but I think that you would join me in being grateful for the moving of the Holy Spirit in the service tonight. Amen. In fact, I'm going to minister briefly about the moving of the Spirit, and I really want to talk to all of us from the service tonight, from the services at youth camp, Southern Ohio, and Granite City, of course, too. I want to talk to us about the moving of the Spirit. Amen. Appreciate Caitlin and Eric and Olivia helping us tonight in our service. And Sandra was talking about their being here and being involved tonight. And she said, after all, they're home girls. I didn't know that was a term, but that's what term my wife used. And so appreciative to see what the Lord is doing in their lives. If you turn with me briefly to Galatians chapter 5. I'm going to let you remain seated. I know our custom is to stand, but we've stood many times tonight, and I just want to read these and contemplate them as we read them. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law." Having read through the list, if you are in possession of those, all of those, you can go ahead and dismiss yourself from service. For the rest of us, we're going to look at this tonight. I tell you what I want to talk to you about. I want to talk about the real moving of the Spirit of God. The real moving of the Holy Ghost. I'm going to approach this message tonight with two assumptions. First of all, I want to say there's a lot of people that are to be commended because you are serving God all out. You're serving God with your heart, your life. You mean business serving Him. You're living all out for Jesus. We got a church full of folks like that. I so am appreciative of folks that serve God all out. The second assumption I want to make tonight is, even though there's folks serving Him all out, there's a group of folks here tonight. You desire more than anything to live more closely to Him than you've ever lived. I think there's a group of people here tonight that want to please God more completely than you've ever wanted to please Him. I think there's a group here tonight that want to see God move like you've not yet seen Him move in your life and family. And so I'm preaching that message on these assumptions. The next remark, I'm speaking to all of us, but I want to gather the young people into this thought. I observed so much excitement and spiritual energy at youth camp. Wow. You know, you take the Spirit out of it. We older folks, we just can't keep up with that kind of activity. It'll wear you out in a hurry. I'm not talking about playing sports. I'm talking about the worship. And I'm so appreciative of all that excitement and spiritual energy, and I wouldn't do anything to discourage or to take away from the excitement that those young people and us, those young people felt at youth camp. But I do want to tell you what thought that kept coming to me and persisted until I share it tonight. And that thought is simply this: as I observed that worship, that excitement, that movement, my thought was, I hope the emotion of feeling the Spirit is not mistaken for the Spirit. The emotion of feeling the Spirit is not mistaken for the Spirit. It's undeniable when the Spirit moves, it affects our emotions. But emotion and the Holy Spirit are not the same thing. Can you say amen tonight? You know, it would be a sad thing if the Holy Spirit in our minds, the Holy Spirit was equated with high emotions in worship. If that's the only equation we make, thank God for what we felt tonight. But if in our minds we equate high emotions in worship for the Holy Spirit, that's a sad thing. And what I want us to see tonight, we ought to equate the moving of the Holy Spirit, yes, with what happens in worship. But we ought to equate the moving of the Holy Spirit to what He does in our hearts beyond emotion. What He does in producing His fruit in our lives. In case you're wondering, the real move of the Spirit that we so desperately need is a moving of the Spirit that results in the production of His fruit in our lives. Well, they got it. They shouted. No, they got it when they have the fruit of the Spirit. Amen. And so what if folks came as much under the influence of the Spirit to grow with the fruit as they came under the influence of the Spirit in worship, in demonstrative worship. I want to think of the moving of the Spirit in those terms tonight. The fruit of the Spirit. Have you ever seen a young lady, you know, she doesn't even know the middle name of her boyfriend. Doesn't even know him that well. And she's already planning the wedding. And those of us that's been around the block a few times, she says, I'm in love. But we know what it is. She's not in love with him. She's in love with love. How many knows exactly what I'm talking about? Please hear me tonight. Some folks are simply excited about the excitement. It's really not about the Holy Spirit. They're just excited about the excitement. Amen. I'm telling you, there's something deeper than that. Many are not into the Spirit. They're into the emotions the Spirit causes. Let me tell you what it is to really be into the Holy Spirit. To really be into the Holy Spirit. This is a Spirit of God. You take my life and you produce your fruit and the likeness of Christ in my innermost being. That's the real moving of the Holy Spirit. I'm not taking away from the Spirit in worship. I'm not taking away from the gifts of the Spirit. I'm not taking away the anointing of the Spirit. But you can have all of that. But when we leave and our lives are unchanged and we think the same things and we struggle with the same struggles and we fight the same battles of the flesh and there's not a change in our innermost being. How many knows there's a deeper moving of the Holy Spirit? I'm not going to preach it tonight. I got a whole series on it. But may we never be mistaken of that precious third person of the triune God. His name is the Holy Spirit. And if the Spirit is really here, the Holy comes with it. Amen. Amen. I received an email a couple of weeks back from a minister, and he said, I want to ask you some questions. He said, I'm going to be preaching on the fruit of the Spirit. And he says, does the Spirit give the fruit to us when we get saved? Is that when it happens? Does it give the fruit to us when we get saved? And then he asked another question. He said, is the fruit of the Spirit immediately evident in a person's life when he gets saved? And if you'll notice, I read about the fruit of the Spirit in chapter 5, but immediately my mind went to chapter 3, verse 3. And in Galatians chapter 3, verse 3, Paul said, are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? And in my answer to this man, I said, you know, in answering your question, it all begins with the Spirit of God. How many knows you can't be saved without the Spirit of God? He convicts. He draws. But it's the Spirit of God that begins spiritual life. The Spirit begins spiritual life in our minds, in our souls, in our hearts. But you see, the spiritual life may have begun when we get saved, but it doesn't stop when we get saved. I'm grateful the Spirit continues to move in our minds and hearts. And it's in that continual moving of the Spirit that His fruit are produced in our heart and life. So are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit? Are you now made perfect by the flesh? Being made perfect, that is the fruit of the Spirit. You see, the word perfect here, we think without mistake. But in the Bible, the word perfect means complete, means mature. It means having got to where you need to go. And to be made perfect by the Spirit is to have the Spirit produce His fruit in our lives. Now, I cannot bypass Paul's question. He said, can you be made perfect? You got started. Everybody here knows you couldn't have been saved without the Spirit. Is there anyone here that believes you could have ever been born again without the Spirit of God? No. We know it took the Spirit of God to save us. So Paul asked the question, if it took the Spirit of God to save you, do you think you're going to have fruit in your life by your own efforts of the flesh? And the answer is a resounding no. Here's the thing that I'm going to be dwelling with the next few minutes and end with tonight. The point of the fruit of the Spirit is we cannot produce them ourselves. We cannot make it happen in our lives. We cannot bring it about. Amen. It took the Spirit to save us. It takes the Spirit to change it. It takes the Spirit to bring His fruit in our lives. And so the Spirit here, you can see it right here. He began something in us and He makes us perfect. Amen. This verse makes it clear that we cannot produce these fruit in our own life. In other words, they do not come naturally. They come from the Spirit. And I'm preaching tonight to be made perfect should be our goal, and thus our goal should have the fruit our goal should be to have the fruit of the Spirit. And what are the fruit of the Spirit? Let's look at them again if we could go back to verses 22 and 23. Here they are. Love. That's what the Spirit wants to put in our hearts. Joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, self-control. I'm dealing with this tonight devotionally and not doctrinally. But all I can say is those are things we need in our life. You know, my wife has hung a plaque with these on them in our restroom. I can't brush my teeth without seeing the list. Amen. It's there. Have you ever looked at it and did a little checking off? How many was pretty, it was pretty dismal. Anyone feel a little depressed? But let's not forget, these are of the Spirit. These are of the Spirit. I want you to go back to verse 22 just for a moment. I just want us to look at it. It says, the fruit of the Spirit. What does that mean? They come from the Spirit. They don't come from my mind. They don't come from my own ability. They don't come from my efforts. They don't come from my self-discipline. They come from the Spirit. The fruit is the Spirit's doing. It's what He does in our life. Isn't that a relief to know that these fruit are of the Spirit? It's not just that I can't produce them. Listen to me. It's that I don't have to produce these. The Spirit produces them. Oh, I know there's something we must do. And real quickly here, just briefly to show there's something we can do. We can't produce the fruit, but we can walk in the Spirit. Look at verse 16 of chapter 5. This I say then, walk in the Spirit. Walking is something you progressively do. It's a thing you do over and over. That means the ins and outs of our life. Our life consists of being in the realm of the Spirit. We can follow the Spirit. Verse 18, but if you are led, if you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. We can follow the Spirit. We can hear Him and do what He bids and follow Him. We can live in the Spirit. Verse 25, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. We can't produce the fruit, but we can walk in the Spirit. We can follow the Spirit. You see how all these things aren't just things that happen in a worship service. Thank God for the Spirit in a worship service. Thank God for the Spirit at youth camp. But Monday morning when you get up for school or work, walk in the Spirit. Live in the Spirit. Follow the Spirit. And if we'll do that, He, the Spirit, will produce the fruit. Now, Paul does a contrast, and again, I'm just dealing with this devotionally and quickly, but in contrast to that, the fruit of the Spirit, the works of the flesh rise up out of the depth of our fallen being. I can't make the fruit of the Spirit happen, but I don't even have to try for the works of the flesh to happen. How many ever had to say, I'm really going to have to try to do what my flesh wants to do? You ever had to do that? No. Those works of the flesh, they just rise up out of the depth of our fallen being. You know, the new place we moved to, the yard was all messed up. Took about 10 pickup truck loads of rock and debris. And I mean, I've dug out stumps. And I had to really till that ground. It was so messed up, and till it and rake it. And I tilled that and raked it so deeply, Brother John, I thought I'd never have a trouble with another weed. I planted grass so thick there wasn't a place for another seed. And that grass came up so beautiful. And I got sick. And a few days later, I looked out there and the beautiful grass was gone. And there were weeds and there were vines and there was crabgrass everywhere. I know I did not plant the crabgrass. I promise. I did not plant the weeds. But no matter how deeply I had tilled that ground, somewhere those weeds were still there. Right? How many knows we got a flesh like that? And from deep within our fallen nature are the works of the flesh. Here they are, verse 19. I'm not going to preach on it. I'm just going to read it. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murder, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom. That's the works of the flesh. If you want to know what life without the fruit of the Spirit's like, that's what it's like. Right? Please don't take this as a political statement. But if you want to know what life without the fruit of the Spirit's like, look at American politics. Right? Amen. What about the movies that reflect our pop culture? Is there any fruit of the Spirit in that? The songs of our pop culture, any fruit of the Spirit? No, all of those things arise from the flesh. And so let's bring this all together. The fruit of the Spirit comes from what the Spirit puts into our life. The works of the flesh are already there. They just arise out of our flesh. But if you have a fruit of the Spirit, it's because the Spirit puts that into your life. Did you know any plant, and all illustrations break down, so just think with me here. But any plant, it may grow in the ground, but it cannot grow in the ground unless it receives something from the sky. Right? It grows in the ground, but it's got to get something from above in order to grow. That's light. That's photosynthesis. The food process cannot be made. I want to tell you something about the fruit of the Spirit. It grows in our life. But to grow in our life, it has to receive something from above. Oh, hallelujah. And I'm telling you, if you'll live in a climate of the Holy Spirit and His Word and prayer and worship in the house of God, amen, those fruit, amazingly, my life, they begin to grow. They're rooted in my mind, in my character, my heart, but they're growing because of what they receive from the Spirit of the Lord. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. So very simply, it is the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit that comes from the Spirit. I want us to look at this before I quit tonight, this list one more time. And I want you to notice that none of these things come inherently. None of these things come naturally. In fact, they're the opposite of what is natural. Look at it there. Love. That's not natural. What's natural? The natural thing is for us to be hateful. Don't have to lift up a hand. Anyone being hateful this week? Joy. Joy. What's the natural thing? Sourness. Bitterness. Discouragement. Grouchy. I promise you, grouchy is not a fruit of the Spirit. The opposite of grouchy is the fruit of the Spirit. Joy. What about peace? Is that natural? No, I'm going to tell you something. Even as a believer, the natural setting, it's inner turmoil, struggle in the mind. That's the natural thing. Amen. Long suffering, patience. That's not natural. I'll tell you what's natural, especially for we cholerics. I tell you what's natural. That's impatient. Anyone been impatient at any time this week? You didn't drive behind some of the folks I drove behind. Right? What's natural? Amen. Gentleness? It's not natural to be gentle. It's natural to be rude and rough and to be short with folks and to be angry with folks. Goodness? It's natural to be mean and mean-spirited. And the word, the fruit here, excuse me, faith, is really faithfulness. Faithfulness is natural. Inconsistence is natural. Fickleness is natural. Going back is natural. Meekness. Meekness. That's not natural. I mean, what's natural is pride and self-indulgence, temperance, which is self-control. That's not natural. What's natural is lustfulness and self-indulgence. I'm just trying to say these things don't come naturally. They're fruit of the Spirit. They come from the Spirit. I'm talking about the real move of the Spirit. It's when we invite Him to move in our lives and to produce these things. How many can just say, yes, that's me. I want more love. I want more joy. I want more peace. I want more long-suffering. I want more gentleness. I want more goodness. I want more faith. I want more meekness. I want more temperance. Amen. It's the works of the flesh which come naturally, but the fruit comes from the Spirit. Let me tell you one more thing, because I don't want you to go home discouraged. The works of the flesh are immediate. If you don't think that, think of anger. How many says, well, let me see here. I can let my anger grow a little bit. It's immediate. Selfishness, immediate. Lust, immediate. But fruit by every aspect of the illustration. Fruit takes time to grow. Right? So I don't want anyone to go here home discouraged tonight. It's your heart and desire to walk in the Spirit, live in the Spirit, be led of the Spirit. If you have that heart desire, I promise you that fruit is going to be growing in your life. Would you come, music? Praise the name of the Lord. And so I want to conclude tonight. The Spirit isn't so much about excited worship. But thank God when He moves and we get excited in worship. But the real moving of the Spirit is when He perfects our living, perfects our thinking, perfects our feeling. Amen. I told you earlier, many are just excited about being excited. And I don't mean to be critical. And I'm not trying to bring up anything political. It's just current. But you see some of those protesters, for instance, this past week, protesting against ICE or this thing or that. And they're so into it. They're so excitable. They're so in. I would venture to say, if you took them aside, 98% of them would have no idea what the real issue is, the real in and outs. They don't even really know what they're protesting. I'm not trying to insult them. I'm just telling you, it's common for people to get excited about things and not get to the reality of the thing. Thank God for excitement in worship. But the reality God wants to bring is the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. Let me give you one parenthetical thing here. If it's the Spirit that's bringing the excitement to the worship, listen, if it's the Spirit bringing the excitement to the worship, it will be an excitement over Jesus. Won't be an excitement over a certain man or excitement over a certain style of music or excitement just for excitement's sake. If it's the Spirit bringing the excitement, it'll be an excitement over Jesus. And could I venture to say with thankfulness, that's what we had tonight. The blood of Jesus, the cross, what He has done. And then please hear me. If it's the Spirit that's bringing the excitement to worship, with that excitement to worship will come an intense desire to live more purely, to live more holy, to live more pleasing. You will not be able to separate it. If it's really the Spirit of God and the truth of God that's exciting your emotions in worship, with that excitement will be an increased desire to, I want to serve you better. I want to love you better. I want the fruit of the Spirit in my life. It's very disturbing to me. I preached at a meeting years and years ago, shortly after another man had preached. And this man was making a point against Pentecostals not in his particular fellowship. And he made a statement. He said, those folks don't have the Spirit of God. He says, we have the Spirit of God. He said, let me show you we have the Spirit of God. And with that, he commenced to dance and to shout. And when he was all finished doing his thing, he said, now that was the Spirit of God. I want to tell you, thank God the Spirit can move and we can shout and we can dance. But I'll tell you what the Spirit of God is. It's when that fruit's growing in that person's life. That is the fruit of the Spirit. Oh, I want that, don't you? Aren't you relieved it's of the Spirit? He does the work. Could you stand across the building? Thank you, Father, for what you've done this evening. Thank you for speaking to our hearts. Lord, thank you for that unity that we felt as we prayed over those with needs, those that are sick. And thank you, Lord, for the love that we felt as we prayed with compassion for those that have had these sicknesses, these babies, Lord. Lord, that was the Holy Spirit moving in our hearts, compelling our prayers. Thank you, Lord, for what faith we felt in the power of Jesus as we prayed. But Lord, we recognize that was your Spirit. God, I pray you'd give someone hope right now that your Spirit can move in their lives. They don't have to have that lack of peace, that turmoil. They don't have to have that struggle with lust. Lord, they don't have to have that difficulty, Lord, of feeling unloved, because your Spirit can move and work in them. Thank you, Jesus, for sending that Spirit in Christ's name. Hallelujah. If that's your desire, to have the moving of the Spirit in a way that brings the fruit into your lives, would you come and fill these altars and say, Holy Spirit, grow your fruit in my life. Produce your fruit in my life. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, hallelujah. Spirit, produce your fruit in our lives. That's the moving of the Spirit that we desire.